Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening, Blog Talk listeners. Thank you once again for joining us for the Letter House Bible Enrichment Hour. Tonight, we are here to give a shout out to Grange Place Ministries for hosting our show. We are thanking Beverly Beasley for her kindness in Grange Place for hosting the Letter House Bible Enrichment Hour. Tonight, we are a people predestined to restore virtue in a society barren of spiritual and moral excellence through a message of the gospel of the kingdom of God and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. It is our endless desire to join a diverse generation for the purpose of connecting and developing other champions. In a technologically advanced society, we deliberately create platforms, special events, seminars, conventions, and fellowships in which in which the wounded and the unusually gifted can find aid and a place of appreciation. Our aim is to continuously create an environment of love, unity, faith, and victory in which all can discover the champion within. And we're so happy to be able to present this to you, our listening audience. And we have someone on the line now. Who do we have a friend that you're talking with? Hello? Are you there? Hello? Can you hear me? Hello? Anyone there? Okay, we are waiting for our guests to come on and join us tonight. I would just like to say good evening to everybody, and hopefully everybody's having a good evening and everything is going well. Is anybody there?
Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me? Oh, yeah.
Can you hear me now? Hello, hello. You couldn't hear me. I couldn't figure out what was going on. I could see the green light, but I couldn't see where I was. So do apologize for that.
Okay.
I couldn't.
Yeah, so you had your mute button on or something, huh? Yeah.
I know,
so how
my
are
mute
you?
Button wasn't on. I'm great.
Oh, okay.
I'm fabulous. Excited to be here at Granny's Place. Excited for the teachings and the workings of our founder and overseer, Dr. Shelton Carter. Just excited to be part of Sister Lewis Forum tonight. It's a great day in the evening in the neighborhood.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And we are so happy to have you tonight. God has just been so gracious and kind today. We made it through without any mishaps, hurdles, or accidents. So he's just been in the blessed business all day long. And I am so happy and so glad to host the Letter House Bible Enrichment Hour, and just glad to be here.
Amen. It's always exciting to be able to join together with like-minded individuals to not only move, be part of a movement that God is of course, facilitating, but also just to be involved in each other's lives, get to hear the praise reports, get to hear the way that God is maneuvering and working and helping us understand how to add him to everything that we do and learning to embody Christendom. It's great. It's great because Dr. Carter is always teaching us about not just reading the word, but speaking that and continually speaking life. And if we don't have anything positive to say, just be quiet. Sit still for a minute till you get something positive to say about something that may be going on around you that is not so positive. So he's always in the instruction mode and always teaching us how to play it forward, how to live life out loud, how to be able to not just do Christianity, but to do Christendom, to be a Christian, to let that be every fiber of your being. And we are always excited when we get an opportunity to get together and to just share about how we've been able to be touched by the lives that we've been able to come in contact with and just share about how we've been able to share the things that he's teaching us and how they have been very instrumental in our lives, the families being reconciled and being reunited in stronger form, and just so many different things that is happening and are being experienced through the members and the people that are united here at the Ladder House. It's great, and it's a wonderful, wonderful place to be.
Amen, amen. I wanted to piggyback on something that we were discussing this morning about along that lines, that how we all share in unity and love. And I've been doing a daily podcast with Rick Warren. He's been talking about transforming lives. And this morning, today's podcast was about love. And he said, he was telling us that the only way that we can get over everything, all the hidden agendas, all the mishaps that we have, all the failures that we go through, we have to remember to just be love, because God is love. And that's the way I feel about the Ladder House and Dr. Carter and his teachings. Ever since that I've been listening to him and talking with him and just growing with him, and he has exhibited nothing but pure love. And, you know, it's just a brotherly, sisterly love, just something that makes you warm and makes you want to just learn more and be a part of what he's doing, because it's so exciting and so loving and so comforting. He's just, you know, he's just somebody that you can just really talk to. I'm one that does not like big churches or a pastor that I cannot get to. And he expresses that, come on, talk to me. What do you got to tell me today? Or is there something I can help you with? Or, you know, it's just a general conversation. You know, a lot of pastors and preachers, you can't do that with. You know, you just go to them and say, I need to talk to you about so-and-so, or do you have time? And, you know, they have these other little preachers that stand in front. Well, let me direct you to this one. Let me tell you, talk to this one. Or your tie's not big enough, you know, or you don't get enough money.
Okay.
I love the fact that he's just there. And you can talk to him, and if he's busy, he'll say, well, I'll get back with you. And he doesn't put you off, you know, too long, or he'll, you know, he's just a very friendly and loving pastor. And I know y'all get that good.
Yes, we do. We do. He prides himself. I mean, we enjoy his person. And being able to even welcome our guests and our visitors and things that are able to take time and come out, he actually takes the opportunity to just encourage them to speak into their lives and the things of that nature. And it's a great way for them to just come in contact and understand the realism of a person that is being called to such a time as this, a person like him that has such a large mandate, such a big vision that he's been called to the world, and to be able to not only bring people into it, but to share so personally with the people that we are able to bring as part of the body, understanding that we are predestined to restore virtue to a society barren of spiritual and moral excellence through various different paths and various different means, understanding that he's able to connect with people in every arena. And it's even more encouraging to watch him be able to be in the business arena and connect with people, the CEOs and things of that nature, to be able to be in the neighborhood or wherever, local assembly or wherever he's able and blessed to tread, to be able to connect, because he's in the spirit, and he lives in the spirit, and he's able to connect on various different levels as God leads him. And it's a wonderful thing to learn, because he teaches by example. And if you pay attention, you'll learn how to do and embody Christianity and just be a Christian on all levels and not put it on and take it off. It's great to experience. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and I from what I've experienced, he has a heart for people. He's just that type of pastor minister that he exhibits a heart. You know, he is just not selfish. It's just not, you know, intimidating. You know, some pastors intimidate you. You know, they just make you feel like, well, I don't have time for you, or you know, just like I was saying, that he just has a heart for the people. He's so gentle. He's so kind. He just good people. Yes, he is.
I've noticed that sometimes his staff sometimes has to remind him to take a rest and sit down, because he will mingle, he will fellowship, he will do the things he has to do, even sometimes at his own expense. It just to make sure that people understand and get the heart of God, and not thinking that they're talking to a man, but understanding that this man is embodying God. This man shows you the true love of God, no matter what the circumstances. There's nothing people have gone through and experienced that he won't be like, okay, you can't come here, or I can't talk to you. He'll talk and share with anyone. He's not afraid to not only share his life and his experience, but he's not afraid to embrace people at wherever they are and help them get to where God purposed them to be, however they go about getting to it. It's not a ritual. It's more of a relationship, and he teaches us about our relationship with God, and it's something that we do continually without ceasing. It's a vital part of our being, and he is very instrumental in instructing us about that on a continual level. It's an awesome time, even in error, when we do things in error and we do things that we misrepresent God, or we misunderstand something that we thought we got growing up or something of that nature. He's even lovingly showing us how to just put our mind in it, not to take our mind out the Bible, but when you go to the Bible, don't try to make it so high that you can't understand what's going on, because God made it so we can understand it. And don't put it out there as some little pedestal. Dive into it. Dissect it. Understand it. Get to know it. Bring your Bible. Study your Bible. Don't just listen to what people say about the matter. Go and learn it for yourself. He's very good at leading us in doing that.
Yes, and I think that's just marvelous. I just really honor him and appreciate him for who he is, because I've never met, I'm just overjoyed with knowing him and being able to correspond with him, to talk to him, and to feel the heart of the man. So it's just a wonderful thing. I think y'all got something. y'all got a genuine one. Y'all got genuine.
Amen.
You know.
Amen. We've been blessed. Thanks, Lord.
You are blessed. I see some other people have joined us, so you might want to go ahead and take the call.
Well, good evening, Ladder House. We thank each and every person that's taking the time out to chime in and join with us this evening on this Bible in Richmond Hour with our founder and overseer, Dr. Shelton Carter. Anyone like to take a minute and say good evening to us and maybe tell us where they're calling from? Floor is open.
Well, howdy, howdy. This is Belma. I am calling from Dallas. And I was here listening to you guys speak of the awesome man of God. And I must say, I agree. I thank God for him constantly. I keep him listed in prayer. He is the most unique pastor, minister, man of God we've ever come in contact with. And I mean contact. You know what I'm saying? Like y'all saying, you know, these pastors, these preachers are so pull offish and so disconnected that it is crazy, you know, but not Pastor Carter. He'll take his shoes off with you if he got to. You know?
Amen.
he'll get off in there with you. And you know, just as well as he'll pat you on the back, he'll also hit you on the back. Wait a minute now, what you say? No, he comes both ways. So I just thank God for him, you know. And I thank God for all you lovely people and y'all love and support. We're just an awesome team of people, you know. So to God be the glory. And may we continue to grow in love. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen, amen. We like to call ourselves a core, which Dr. Carter says is a community of reapers. We love to be united. We love the spirit of unity that is being added to us with each and every individual that God blessed us with, because as he always teaches us, we have the heart of our leader. We have the passion that our leader has. So it's we have to be very careful of where you align yourself and who you align yourself with. But I learned that as we follow Dr. Carter and the teachings and his life experience that he shares, we learn how to love unconditionally, because we've been loved unconditionally. He's quick to remind us, hey, wait. You know, we don't judge. We don't judge, because we've been given so much grace. We extend that grace. So it is a pleasure to be attached to the body and to be in a place where people love to love. They love to be united. They love to embrace. We love to just welcome those that come in. And however they are coming in, understanding that we see God in everybody, and we know that there's a purpose for every life on the earth. It's just a matter of helping people come into whatever God has purposed them for and helping them be the best them that they could possibly be. It's a great time at the Ladder House. Anyone else like to take a minute and say good evening to us? We are here on the Ladder House Bible Enrichment Hour under our founder and overseer, Dr. Shelton Carter. We know some people have come in. Anyone like to say good evening? Well, if not, we just again say welcome to our Bible Enrichment Hour. This is an exciting time. Please take your pens, your paper, your memo pads on your phone. Be prepared to receive. Be prepared to pour back in. Say thank you. Just get prepared for an awesome time in the Lord where you not only learn how to understand and dive into that word, but you know how to make it practical in your life. And that's under our founder and overseer, Dr. Shelton Carter. Sir, the floor is yours.
All right. Amen. Can you hear me?
Speak up a little bit.
Yeah, but you're a little faint, sir.
All right. How about now? Are we any better?
Yes, sir.
All right. Very good. Very good. God bless you, and good evening to everyone that is present tonight, that is online with us tonight. It's a blessing to have you. It's a blessing to be able to speak with you and to speak to you. Again, that which the Lord has given us tonight, amen, comes by grace and election, not by perfection. And so I thank God for choosing me tonight, amen, for such a time as this to speak to the heart of the matter. Again, this is our regular Bible Enrichment Hour, in which we share the Word of God and instruct it to those that are hearing and hearing and receiving, so that we not only get a proclamation of the Word of God, but we also get an explanation of the Word of God. For the Bible teaches that the kingdom of God should not only be preached, but it says that it should be taught as well. Preaching is to declare the Word of God, where certainly the Bible teaches that he will do no thing in the earth until he first reveal it to his servant, the prophet. And a prophet, again, is one that is an inspired speaker. Inspired meaning that he has been inspirited by the Holy Spirit, who blew the wind or the ruach of his spirit into human spirit, amen, and therefore speaking under the dominance and the control of the Holy Spirit, which is distinct from all other spirits, forces, sources, or otherwise, and therefore brings forth clarity as it relates to the mind of God concerning the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8, where he says that the Spirit, amen, makes intercession for that which is the heart and the mind and will or intentions of God. And so it's revealed back unto us that which he is revealing, so that we as prophetic people can declare it in the earth. But again, declaring the Word of God is not enough, for you have to do more than just declare the Word of God or hear the Word of God, because we hear the Word of God declared, and this is where a lot of people mess up when it comes to prophecy, is that they hear the Word of God declared, but they don't follow up with the instructions, amen, that comes after the Word of God, amen. And sometimes that word of instruction may not come immediately after the prophetic word is pronounced. That word of instruction may come through a series of instructions or a series of words. And this is why the enemy often fights us from receiving the word or hearing the word or getting in a place, amen, that we could cognitively understand the word. And nevertheless, the word of God prophesied to us is a word of God that should require some preparation, because again, we get excited when the word of God comes to us by prophecy concerning the things that God is going to do. But I don't think we're aware of the process that comes after the word of God has been declared. And so we receive a word with excitement and joy, and we're ready to run and skip and hop over that word. And as we have taught, that the word of God is not to be, that is prophesied, is not a time to celebrate, but it's a time of meditation and reception. It is not a time of clapping, it's a time of receiving. And we hold in ourselves in a posture that we receive the word of God, and therefore we receive everything that comes along with that word. And every word that comes from God comes with grace, comes with the grace to withstand whatever the process is that's required for that word to come to pass in your life. We know that the word of God don't instantaneously come to pass in our life. It's not as if we microwave it and pop it out. It's just right there. But there's a process, and we know that because he admits himself. He says that he watches over his word to perform it. He watches it not to just declare it, but to watch it till it comes to its fullest fruition of performance. Likewise, Jesus was the ultimate manifestation of a word spoken, a word prophesied, a word released in the earth. It was released hundreds of years ago prior to his coming. And then once his coming it came, there was a process before he actually became the maturity of the thing that was spoken about. In the beginning was the word, but it was not Jesus who was the manifestation of that word. The manifestation of the word that was in the beginning didn't show up to hundreds of years later in Matthew, and the Bible says that word, John, where the Bible says that word became flesh and it dwelt amongst us. It came through the womb again of a virgin by the name of Mary, and after coming through the womb of the Virgin Mary, it was a process of time. One is he had to come up to the level of the understanding of the word spoken, not only concerning him, but the word spoken over him. You remember that Jesus was growing and maturing in the things of God. It wasn't until he was 12 he was found in the temple inquiring of the Pharisees and the teachers of law there. So he was a student as well, although he was chosen. And this is where a lot of prophetic people mess up. They can feel a prophetic unction on them, but they don't understand the requirement to sit and to be still and to receive a man the instructions on how to operate in the prophetic. Because once you operate in the prophetic, you have to understand that you are receiving golden pieces out of a spirit dimension and that have been contended for not only by the holy angels who have the responsibility to bring it in the earth and bringing it to pass, but also you have evil and demonic forces that are warring against that word. And so that word spoken over you, and you're not understanding the warfare over your life. The warfare over your life is a product of, amen, a divine word spoken over you that is being contended for by devils, demons, imps, powers, amen, and other sources and forces that are trying to prohibit that word from coming to pass. It was a strange thing that when Jesus was released in the earth at birth, that Herod and every other demon in the world was seeking to kill him. And isn't it amazing that they had some sense that something dynamic had been pronounced in the earth? They hadn't seen it. They didn't know where it was, but they had a sense that something was going on. Something was going on that was going to change the dynamics of how things were going up until then. And you remember Jesus came to overthrow the kingdoms as they were. He overthrew the systems as they were. And he brought forth revival, amen, just through his coming. John the Baptist said, look, I come preaching a baptism, and this baptism that I'm preaching is a baptism of repentance. Repentance means to think or to think again. And again, the baptism that he was preaching, it was not to sinners, but this baptism was to believers. And he was saying to believers, we have to rethink how we're doing stuff up until now. We have to really rethink how we're doing it, because again, the times and the seasons have changed, and this voice or this prophetic thing now is coming into the earth, and the thing that's coming into the earth, amen, is being contended for. And we have to know how to handle divine things or divine operations and divine visions, things that have been released, amen, from the Father for us. I want you all that have your Bibles, I want you to look at Nehemiah, if you would, chapter 4.
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Did we lose him? Did we lose him?
Yeah, bear with him a minute. It's a connection. He was trying to get to a place where he had a better connection. So can you bear with him a minute? And then there's some feedback or something coming on the line that might have got him off. So if everybody on the line can if you can mute, please, because there's some reverb or some feedback that's coming in too.
Yeah, I think that was his end. Might have been his location.
Amen. I know he said turn to Nehemiah. I remember that part. I think it was Nehemiah. So if we just bear with him a minute, he'll be back on.
I want to make sure we didn't lose him.
He's calling back in. He's speaking, but some kind of way, something's going on with his connection because he doesn't. He can hear that he's talking, but and he never. His line shows that he's active, so he's recalling.
Okay. Yeah, I see it. Here we go. Hold on, just a minute.
You want to hear me?
Okay, there we go. All right, we
hey,
got you in.
All right. Yeah, I could hear you all, but you guys couldn't hear me. But nevertheless. In relationship to what we were saying, we were talking about how the Word of God goes contended for, and the Word of God that is spoken even over the lives of individuals, which is purpose, which is God's sovereign will. His Word is spoken over us and talks about how He watches over His Word to perform it, which is an indication to us that once He speaks to the Word, it doesn't automatically or instantaneously come to pass in our life. But there's a maturing and a growing has to come with this word. Remember, Jesus himself was the living word, and he was born to do a certain thing. He was the very purpose that we all are experiencing now. But yet he didn't understand the level of the word spoken over him. And we know this because when he was in the temple, the Bible says at the age of 12, he was growing by asking questions, amen, to the Pharisees, and to the teachers and the doctors of the law there. And then you remember that Jesus' parents had been looking for him during this time of festival and feast, but yet he was in study. And so even though you are prophetic and you have a prophetic unction on your life, that's not the time to be running out prophesying or trying to prophesy, because, again, there comes a maturity that has to come about before you release divine things, because there is a responsibility, amen, to speaking prophetic words. You remember one place in Acts, Paul says, I was caught up in the third heavens, and I heard things that was unlawful to utter. In other words, just because you hear it doesn't mean you need to be saying it. And it's not that you don't know how to say it. It's that sometimes we're not permitted or authorized to say some of the things that we hear because we haven't matured in a fashion to be able to speak it. Not only have we not matured, but we haven't come to the place of understanding enough to be able to release or speak such pronounced as it relates to divine happening. Just because you tap into the spirit dimension doesn't authorize you to move in it. Are you here? And let me say to somebody that those of you that are just seeking and just seeking just for the sake of seeking or wanting to be deep or wanting to be profound, trust me. If you want something to play with, this is not the place to play. This is not the playground to go to. You might want to go to Toys R Us to get a toy, because walking in the spirit, amen, is a responsibility. Because sometimes even I've seen a lot of believers, preachers, teachers, and others, amen, try to walk in the spirit, and they offset other spiritual operations because of their carnality that gets mixed with the prophetic potential. Yes, there's a prophetic potential there, but there's a time that you got to surrender that gift. Amen. You remember Jesus himself didn't just go prophesying and teaching. He was 30 years old before he said anything to anybody. He was 30 years old before he performed any miracle, 30 years old before he did any wonderful work, 30 years old. And then he only ministered for 3 years. And the reason he only ministered for 3 years because he had a clear glimpse and grasp on the thing that God wanted him to do, and he did it. And when he did it and it was done, it was no longer used for him to be around. He finished his operation. Likewise, I believe that that's how it was appointed for man. I don't think that man was supposed to die. This is just my own understanding. This is my own revelation there. I believe that man was supposed to fulfill his purpose and didn't get caught up like a man the prophet did in the days of old. The chariot came down, picked him up, took him on. It was as if he did what he was supposed to do, and then he got him and took him on. Are you understanding what I'm saying to you? We have to get understanding about operating in this dimension, because we are making a mess, amen, out of kingdom potentials, all in the name of spiritual carnality. It's spiritual operating, but it's operating in hate, operating in division, operating in contentions, clamor, operating in all types of fleshly feelings and emotions. And when we get in our feelings and emotions, we run the risk of tearing up stuff that's supposed to happen in the spirit. And so we want to get some understanding about what we're doing and how we're doing and what we're doing, so that we could be, amen, because again, overall, God's will be done, not my will be done. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven, which means that I am a part of an overall plan. The Bible says that we are all God's workmanship, created for good works. We are his workmanship. We are his poetry in motion, his plan unfolding. And when we get in our flesh, sometimes we mess up our part in the mystery of faith. And not only do we mess it up, but we mess it up for other people. And I like to say sometimes we get enough word in us to be dangerous to ourselves and other people. And to the point that we mess every other things up and offset other spiritual purposes and other spiritual operations, all in the name of God. The devil is a lie. I believe that the body of Christ is going to come together in unity. I believe that the body of Christ is going to come together in oneness, in totality, in wholeness. I believe that we're going to operate in peace, love, understanding, and tranquility. But I do also understand that before there's peace, there's often war. And you got to know how to war through this thing so you can get to the objective, which is peace. And peace has to be established. You got to establish peace by planting a flag down in the place that peace is to be, whether it's in your life, amen, whether in any area of your life, in your children, in your finances, in your marriage, in your career, in your ministry. You have to declare peace, but you got to understand that peace is fought for. Peace, the reason you're calling for peace, because there is an uproar somewhere in an area that peace is supposed to be. Something is out of sorts, something is out of whack where peace is supposed to be. And we have to get to the place where we say, Lord, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth or in this aspect of my life, just as it is in heaven. And in the heavens, there is peace. And I need peace in this area right up and through here. Are you understanding what I'm saying? But peace comes through war.
Amen.
And you got to learn how to walk through the spirit. Amen. And again, everybody that goes to church and everybody that totes Bible don't know how to walk in the spirit. Walking in the spirit is not just prophesying and laying hands on people.
Amen.
Are you here? The Bible says as many as that are led by the spirit, that are led by the spirit, they are the sons of God. A son, amen, is not gender, amen, in the spirit. It is one that walks in the nature and character of another. You can be a female and be a son. Are you here? You can be a female and be a son. A son. A son is one, according to Scripture, one that is led by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Alakletos, being led by the Comforter, who brings forth comfort, being led, amen, by our Advocate, amen, being led by our Restorer, being led by our Peacemaker, being led by our Lover, being led by the Spirit who brings forth joy when there's disaster, led by the Spirit, amen. This is why the Bible said the kingdom of God suffers violence, but the violent must take it not by violence. The violent must take it by force. And the forces, amen, of the kingdom is not violent, but the forces of the kingdom are the issues that the Bible speaks of out of Proverbs, where he says, guard your heart, for out of it, and again, that heart is the word cardia, which is the word used for spirit, where we get the English term cardiovascular. He said, guard your heart or guard your spirit, for out of it flows the issues of life, flows the issue of life. That word issue is the same word that's used for forces,
where he says the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violence must take it by force, or by the issue, by the release of the Spirit. The release of the Spirit is found in Galatians chapter 5, where he talks about the fruits of the Spirit in contrast to the operations or the working of the flesh. The works of the flesh are evident, the Bible says. And he talks about them being fornication, being adultery, being rivalry, being contentiousness, being all of this stuff, all this evil doing, all this evil acting. But then he starts talking about the fruit of the Spirit. And he talks about how it is love, number one, amen. Talks about how it is gentle, talks about how it is kind, the fruit of the Spirit. Again, you don't have to get obnoxious to win your battle. You don't have to get up. Matter of fact,
Amen.
The more obnoxious
Amen.
You get, it's safe to say that you might be losing the battle. Because, again, when you're really operating in the Spirit, oftentimes people may be able to tell that you're in a fight. They just don't know the level of the fight that you're in until you start losing the fight. And we know you're losing the fight by the thing that you say while you're going through the fight. We have to guard what we say, because what we say is flowing out of our heart. And what comes out of our heart as the grace of God comes forth or bring things to pass. And if you are carnal, you will speak, amen, out of your flesh or out of your emotions, not realizing that you got grace and an anointing on your life, and therefore you're bringing things to pass that shouldn't be brought into existence. You are alerting spiritual operations that should not have been aware of anything that is going on in you. You have to learn to guard your heart. Your heart. Tonight, I wanted to share, and we wouldn't have so many interruptions, I wanted to share about Nehemiah again, where Nehemiah was dealing with what we call the building project. And we referred it to the building project that would build us. The building project Nehemiah had was, again, to rebuild or restore a wall around Jerusalem. And this wall would strengthen, amen, the well-being of the citizens of the holy city, and also serve as a type of the hedge of protection concerning the spiritual things of God, which the temple that was the ladder that was to be erected was in the dead center of this wall. Also, Ezra at that time was restoring proper interpretation of the word of God. You remember that he stood on the platform that was made for the purpose, which was called the pulpit in the book of Ezra. And again, he stood on top of the wood of platform that the Bible says was made for the purpose. He stood up on it, the pulpit, he called it. The pulpit, let me help somebody, for those of you that have all of this craziness about strange stuff and strange doctrines, and I keep telling you, you cannot operate in the Spirit and be ignorant, and therefore when you're ignorant operating in the Spirit, you are offsetting things or causing things that are illegal to become a resistance, amen, to the kingdom of God, because we're ignorant. We say things like the Bible says that he shall pour out his Spirit upon all flesh, that his sons and his daughters would prophesy. His sons and his daughters would prophesy. While we're still having foolishness, like women not permitted to what they call preach in the pulpit in some denomination or association. I want to say this to you, ladies, that are on the line and you may be in ministry. Don't worry about standing in the pulpit or wherever they want you to be, because, again, the pulpit wasn't something that you stood behind, but the pulpit was something that you stood up on. And the reason you stood on top of that thing, because that thing was the place that was by its audio dynamics, if you would, how the wood or the platform would be set based upon the acoustic function, they would speak from that platform, and the purpose was so that the voice could herald, that the voice could resound and ring out from standing up on this pulpit. Your pulpit is not a place that got a mic, honey, but your pulpit is when you find your purpose. And your purpose may not be at a physical address, but your purpose may be in a function. Your purpose may be in a cause. Your purpose, and when you find your purpose, prophesy to you. You find your purpose when you receive the prophetic word so much that you go and obligate yourself to learning, and not just any learning, but you go and sit, like the Bible says, and find yourself an apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, or an evangelist so that they may perfect that saint, so that he may come into the fullness of the knowledge of Christ and grow up into the head, amen, which is Christ, so he may no longer be tossed to and fro by every wind that he is hearing when he is speaking or ministering, but he will learn how to walk in sobriety and understand his purpose and his function. Jesus just didn't go do everything. He knew his function, and that's why it took him up to 30 years before he started operating in his purpose. Now, I understand that you're 21 and you know it all already, but, honey, some of y'all might just need to go sit down somewhere and get some understanding about what it is that God wants to do in you. Because whatever he's trying to do in you, there is a purpose for what it is you have to do. Jesus did not minister to everything and everybody beyond popular belief. We know this because when the Syrophoenician woman came to him asking him for bread to eat, he said to her, he said, "Why should I give you dog bread to eat?" Now, I can only imagine if somebody come to me and say, "I need a word, Reverend," and I go, "Why should I give you dog some bread to eat?" They would say, "Isn't Pastor Dr. Carter so arrogant, so rude and nasty and obnoxious?" No, Jesus wasn't rude or obnoxious. Jesus just understood his purpose, and the Bible said that he was flint towards his purpose. In other words, he was so focused on his purpose that he wasn't going to allow every need to distract him to the point that he is falling off of his purpose, because everything and everybody had a need. He understood that he was only sent to the lost sheep of Israel. Oh, but you got to understand about the nature of him. The Bible says that woman said, "Yes, but even the dogs deserve the crumbs off the king's table." In other words, her faith had initiated a response from him. She was so persistent in that faith that he had to move in her area. Likewise, the enemy is after your faith while you're building. That's why when you're getting a divine project from God, everything about you is challenged mentally, emotionally, psychologically, and yes, spiritually. Nehemiah is building the wall. He gets a vision, a prophetic revelation from God, an assignment from the heavens, thinking that everyone would applaud him and be happy for him. But let me help you. Everybody is not happy about your dream. Everybody is not happy that the dream giver even talked to you. Everybody is not excited that you got a real vision. There are so many people, amen, that contend and contest and try to war with me just because of the revelation that God gave me. I didn't ask for this stuff. I died for it. And I didn't die willingly. I died a hard death. And every day I'm dying one. But yet and still, he will assume that if you wonder, no, I don't assume anything. It's just that when I speak what I know, because I done lived with what I know. And it's the only thing that has kept me. It is this hearing ear that have got me going through life like I've had. Had me overcome hurdles and circumstances and situations, having an ear to hear. An ear to hear. But it wasn't just hearing it. I had to go sit down somewhere and learn something and submit myself. And as I did that, the Lord began to instruct me, amen, upon a prophetic and wise teaching. And so with that, I learned how to operate in the Spirit. Nehemiah gets a vision from God. And the Bible says in verse 1 of Nehemiah 4, he said that Sanballat and Tobiah, they got upset. And not only did they get upset, but the Bible said they got very indignant. And the reason they got indignant, not because Nehemiah spit in their face, not because Nehemiah wrecked their car, not because Nehemiah did anything wrong to them. The only reason they got upset is because Nehemiah got a vision to change and make things different than what they had been up until now. And it's amazing that when you get something that profound and prophetic, that if you get under attack just because you got the revelation to make things better. Nehemiah was bringing revelation and revolution to all that would join a part of this dream, to the point that God himself had to start organizing and orchestrating and mandating people to come into Nehemiah's burden. You remember when he got the vision as well as the release to go rebuild the wall, that he brought in other magistrates, he brought in other leaders and kings in, and he just allowed them to see the state and the condition of Jerusalem at the time. He didn't tell them about his vision. He didn't tell them what he was up to. He just wanted them to see what was going on. And once they got a glimpse of what was going on, they grabbed a hold of Nehemiah's burden. Not his person, his burden. And all vision, according to the book of Habakkuk chapter 1, starts with a burden. Before he says write the vision and make it plain, he says the burden of the prophet Habakkuk. That burden. Those people came into his burden. And they weren't trying to get into it. They didn't ask to be into it. God joined them to it. He starts pulling people in from the north, south, east, and west into the burden, into the not just the revelation, but into the burden. And they would find that that burden, amen, would burden them. And as they were working on the burden, they started noticing that the burden itself was growing them. Nehemiah's project began to grow the people. You better hear me. His project grew the people to the point that they all grabbed hold and they began to go to work. And as they went to work to build the wall, they were being mocked and they were being taunted and they were being made fun of. And they were saying, who are these people? Who are these feeble people? They began to label those people, and they began to socialize those people, and they were demeaning those people, and they began to be very, very obnoxious and rude and condescending and rude towards the people. Saying if they built whatever they built, that it would fall down and it would crumble. It ain't going to make it. It ain't going to last. It ain't going to happen. Do you know how many times people told me it wasn't going to happen, told me I wasn't going to last, told me I wouldn't make it, told me I wouldn't survive it? And I had to grab hold of myself and say, the devil is a liar. If I made it through all of that, I'll make it through whatever challenge as long as you hold your hands to the plow and refuse to let go. The Bible says one of the attacks that came against Nehemiah was confusion. But you remember, as he built the wall almost to a place of completion, that when they started the confusion, Nehemiah resorted to the area of thought of prayer, prayer, prayer. Yes, he was building on earth, but until you establish air supremacy in the heavens, what you are doing in the earth will always challenge you to the point of fleshly and natural resistance. You have to sometimes get a higher power involved in your divine project. Matter of fact, all the time you have to get a higher power in. You got to get the Holy Ghost involved. I understand that it's a practical work as well, but you better get the Spirit involved in this, because if he started it in the Spirit, it's going to end in the Spirit. And you got to get and stay in the Spirit. And the challenge has been to get you out of the Spirit. If I can get you out of the spirit, then I can destroy you. If I can get you out of your function, if I can get you out of your pulpit, if I can get you out of the place where the anointing flows in your life, then I got you. Oh, you better hear me. Because, again, you remember that they had built the wall, and then in chapter 6 the Bible says that here they came again, but this came with a lion and a slick tongue, and they were trying to be nice, and they were trying to persuade Nehemiah to come down off the wall. To the point they started writing letters, and they started making official notices, and they were lying notices and lying pieces of paper and parchment that were going around concerning Nehemiah. But it was the work of the enemy.
Come on.
The work of the enemy, which means you, as a spirit believer, we don't buy everything that we see. And we definitely don't move on everything that we hear. Just because it was said doesn't mean that it's the truth. You buy the spirit. You better try it with it, because, again, there are prophetic unctioners that believe that they are walking in the spirit, but yet they're walking in carnality, and they're establishing things, work, and disrupting the very purposes of God. But I came to tell you tonight that that is coming to an end, because God is resolving all matters, and therefore manifestation will settle every issue concerning you, and therefore your work will speak for itself.
Come on, Pastor.
It will speak for itself. Yeah. The Bible says that they were trying to get Nehemiah to come down. Come down. Only to find out that it was the son, that it was Tobiah. Tobiah and them writing letters. Who was Tobiah? The Lord showed us on Sunday that Tobiah was the spirit of Delilah. Tobiah was the son of Delilah. You remember Delilah functioned as it related to Samson. Her whole purpose was to take the eyes out so that he'd lose his vision. And once he lost his vision, he lost his life. And I promise you, you cannot allow nothing, no force, no spirit to come against your vision. Your vision. How do you know it's coming against your vision? Because it's always inquiring about areas of your strength. You got to be careful when people try to get next to you to figure out how you do it, do what it is that you do.
Come on.
Sometimes
Hello.
They get close to you for the very wrong reason, just to figure out your stuff, to get your secret, to get your understanding, to get your revelation. No, you can't give away your strength. This is what Samson did. He began to give away his secret. And once he gave away his secret, which was he was a Nazarite, which means he had a covenant with God, and the sign of the covenant was in his hair. But I said to the people on Sunday that the covenant was, yes, it was, the sign was in the hair. But all covenants, baby, is a matter of the heart. The fact that he cut my hair was proof that the reason that I got this hair is proof that I'm committed to my covenant. Now, if I ain't got no hair, I'm still committed to that covenant. It's like a marriage without a ring. And just because you got a ring don't mean that you married.
Come on.
You understand what I'm saying to you? Just because you got a piece of paper doesn't mean that you are. It's not until it gets in your heart. And once it's in your heart, out of the heart, out of the mouth, the abundance of the heart speak. Your mouth will start speaking in alignment to what is in your heart. Sometimes you don't find out what's really in somebody until you give them enough time to speak. And they ain't going to say it, honey, in the first week. Sometimes it takes them 6 months. Sometimes it takes 5 years. You just got to be careful in how and where you release your strength to. You got to be careful how you give your secrets away, because they're after cutting your hair. When you got the understanding that my commitment and my covenant is not in my hair, it's in my heart, that even if you cut my hair, I understand that it'll grow back in the morning. It may not be as long as I want it to be, but every day I'll get a little bit of stubble. I go from stubble to an inch, from an inch to an inch and a half, an inch and a half to 2 inches, 2 inches to 3 inches, 4 inches, 5 inches. Next thing you know, I got all my hair back. I'm talking to somebody tonight that's going to get your hair back. But you ain't going to get your hair back until you understand that your commitment is not in your flesh. It's not in the circumstances around you. Your commitment is in your heart. And when you make your heart before the Lord and give your heart, amen, to your heart, to the vision of God, that's when God will renew your strength. You'll be able to mount up on wings of eagle, and you'll soar, man. You'll go to heights that people never thought you could go to, because you understand that it's not in my flesh. It's not in the things around me. It's in my heart, and out of my heart I will speak a new song. I will sing a new song unto the Lord. Sing, O ye barren who have not yet produced. Sing unto the Lord. Lift in your state. Strengthen your cords, for the Lord is about to produce in your life. But you got to understand, it's not about what's around you. It's about what's in you. What's in you tonight? What's in you?
What's in you?
If the vision is in you, you say to Tobiah, why should I come down off this wall? Knowing that if I come down off this wall, that you and I know the work is going to cease. Why are you trying to keep me from working?
Come on.
Because you're dealing with the son of Tobiah. And when you deal with Tobiah's son, when you deal with Tobiah's mama, Delilah, you got a serious spirit on your hand. You got to be careful how you deal with Delilah. I asked the Holy Ghost, I said, how is it that Samson, being a great and mighty man, allowed this thing to pull him down? How and why did he do it? You remember that Delilah came and attacked him and assaulted him after conversating and consulting with the Philistines, enemy voices. And those enemy voices began to manipulate and cause Delilah to move in areas that she might not have moved unless she had been manipulated. And so as she started to move in the thing, she was moving and operating against Samson, doing and working for the enemy, working for the enemy. And the Lord showed me, I said, Lord, what would have happened if he wouldn't have cut his hair? What would have happened if she wasn't so successful in her operation? You got to understand, something was going to die. If it wasn't Samson, it was going to be Delilah. And you got to be careful of building with people that got themselves in mind. She only did it to keep herself alive. Sometimes things and folks will get close enough to you to jab you in the throat, to attempt or to distract, to distort or to pollute, to get you to come down off of the thing that God has you up on. Tonight I want you to get back up there. I want you to make a commitment to get back up there. Get back up on the wall if you come down. Get back to the place of your conviction. Understand that your covenant is not in your hair. Your covenant is in your heart. Your commitment is in your heart. And when it's really in there, it'll come out of you. It'll come out of you. No weapon formed against you will prosper. Every tongue of judgment that rises against you will be condemned. For this is your heritage as a servant of the Lord. You will win if you do not quit. Hold fast and be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And know ye that he is the Lord your God. It is he that has made us, and not we ourselves. He has chosen you, and not you yourselves. For you are not your own, for you have been bought with a price. For it is I, the Lord, that have chosen you, chosen me, that you may go and bear fruit. And not only that you would bear fruit, but that your fruit will remain. It's time to produce.
Yeah.
It's time to make it happen, Captain. It's time to get it in and get it done. It's time. Lord God, I bless you. And I give you the glory and I give you honor for all that you've done and said. I pray, Father, to this brief synopsis, Lord, would build the faith of some believer tonight, that it would touch some head that is lowered, some heart that is challenged, some soul that is tampered. Lord, build us up where we are weak and make us strong again. Restore the joy of our salvation. Give us the strength we need, Lord, for the battle. Show us how to increase and how to maneuver in the Spirit, operate in your purpose. I give you the glory and I give you the honor. I thank you, Lord, that you are Lord, that you are God and you are King. I give you the glory and the honor. And we thank you and attribute all power and praise to you. For you are our King. You are our Savior. And we thank you again for choosing us to sit and to serve and to hear from you on tonight. Now we take that which we receive and we apply it in our heart and our spirit, and we stay steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as we know that our labor is not in vain. It's not in vain. We thank you and we give you praise again in Jesus' magnificent name. Those that love the Lord says amen and amen.
Amen.
And amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
We have about 2 minutes. Amen. Pardon us for our phone line just kept breaking off. This is why we had to, amen, give you the word of God, how we got it. But amen, gave you the word of God according to scripture. And I pray you receive, and I pray you heard the Holy Ghost behind what it is that we have spoken on tonight, and that you can try the Spirit by the Spirit and apply that, amen, to your daily lives. Does anybody want to speak into the word of God on tonight or encourage the faith of somebody else? You have time to do so. We have about another minute. Amen. Amen.
Glory to God.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you,
Lord,
for that awesome word, Pastor. God bless you.
Yes.
God bless you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much. Amen. God bless you for the encouragement. Anybody else that wanted to share and speak into the word of God tonight before we part? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
If there's a prayer request or any as such, definitely here to hear and speak into those things as the Lord so permit. Amen and amen and amen. Well, God bless all of you on tonight. I want to thank God, amen, for you that are continuously speaking and praying for us and believing God for the best for the ministry, for myself. Continue to declare the word of God over our work and over the purpose of God for this vision. Tonight I want to give a shout out to Sister Ruby from Midland, Texas. We received your seed, amen, on this weekend, and we just wanted to acknowledge that we received your seed offering.
Mm-hmm.
God bless you. God bless you, and thank you again for supporting and encouraging our ministry. It means so much to us when we see and hear the response of the people that are being blessed by the ministry. God bless your heart and all your parts, people of God. We'll see you in the morning. I'll talk to you in the morning on our regular conference line. I believe our number is 605-475-4001, extension 286. 286. What am I doing? 286.
286-890.
6890. There we go. Amen.
And so, again, we'll be ready and on the morning. And for those of you that will join us, we can't wait to have breakfast with you. God bless you. Have a great night's rest. Let me pray for you, Father, in Jesus' name. Give us sweet rest, we pray. Let the angels of the Lord encamp round about us, guard us, and keep us. Give us keeping angels, warring angels, reaping angels, those that cover us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. We bless you eternally, in Christ's name. Those that love the Lord says, amen. God bless you. And have
amen.
A great night.
Good night,
amen.
All. We'll talk in the morning.
Night.
Love you all. God bless.